This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this glorious Palm Sunday. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Jesus often asked his followers some very confrontational questions. Here is one of these questions. You do not want to leave me too, do you? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we understand full well as we read your word how much you love all people. We realize also how grieved your heart must be when even one of them turns and walks away. Lord, we pray that we this day may bring that message that comes from your holy word, but also to remind all who listen that there is joy in heaven over one soul who repents. And so as we have entered into this holy week, we ask, O God, you will give the grace for us to follow you all the way to Calvary, to see what you have done as a payment for our sins, and then, O Lord, that we may be prepared to greet you as a resurrected and living Lord, with a song in our heart and on our lips, Jesus Christ lives, and he lives within my heart. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. friends in Christ. Jesus often asked his followers some very confrontational questions. And one of these questions is found in our text today, when he said to the disciples, "You do not want to leave me, do you?" That's a very penetrating question. And you could ask the question, why did Jesus talk to them this way? Why did he ask them that question? Well, it's simply this that's right before us in the text. He says here in verse 66, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." In other words, this is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. If you'd like to get your Bibles out and follow along, we'll try to be as close to the text as we can. Some of them were leaving him, and it caused him no small amount of grief. This is Palm Sunday, and we see here the masses of people going into the city of Jerusalem and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And just a few days later, they would change their lyrics, and they would be saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were some of those who had turned their backs and no longer followed him. Now, Jesus loved people. We need to continually emphasize that. His word says that Jesus loved the world. He did not want any person to suffer eternal damnation. All were to be saved. We cannot begin to think that he's just out trying to get someone and really sending them out of his presence forever. The opposite was true. You recall that text where Jesus is feeding the 5,000? Remember that the disciples were ready to let them go home. After all, they had spent the day together, and now it was time for them to try to fend for themselves and get food for their bodies. But Jesus said, "No, I have compassion on them." And before they left him, he fed them. He had concerns for all people. He had concerns for those who were sick. He had concerns for those who were spiritually sick. Even had concerns for a prostitute who would give her body, and also to a crook like Zacchaeus who would give up anything just for a little bit more of the material. He did not love their lifestyle. In other words, we could honestly use that hard word and say he hated it because it was contrary to the will of God's law. But he also loved the people who were captive by it. And when they walked away from him, his heart was broken. Had he now lost the opportunity to bring them into his kingdom for all eternity? You see that cry again before the cross, where he is standing there on the mountain and looking out over the city of Jerusalem and uttering these immortal words, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." There was suffering there. People had left him. Or when he is hanging on the cross, he looks down over the masses of people who are there observing that crucifixion. And he prays, "Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing." See, that was a person who really loved people, who at that time was really talking. Now, you could ask the question, well, why would anybody leave Jesus? And our text says that on hearing, that is, all that he had said to them, many of the disciples, now notice they are disciples, said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Now, what was a hard teaching? Well, remember, these people were Jewish, and they were looking for a Messiah. And Jesus said to them, I am the Messiah. And they turned and said, but you're not the kind of a Messiah that we're looking for. We are looking for one who will free us from the Romans and let us go on our merry way. We're not looking for one like you. And when Jesus says, I am the one who can bring you into a relationship with God, they turned and said, but we are in a relationship with God because of our natural birth. Abraham is our father. And then he said to them, I am the bread of life. You have to be in a relationship with me where you feed on me, where you listen to everything that I say. And this is a way that life is guided and directed and consoled for you. They didn't like it. And so they simply turned around and said, it is a hard teaching, and that's why we're walking away from you. They gave an answer. Isn't that pretty much true today, friend? You can run across all kinds of people, and maybe I speak to some of you today, whom Jesus loves. But you would say, I can have nothing to do with this whole matter of Christianity because it is a hard teaching. I don't like the idea of this people being sinners. I don't like this message of the cross. That just does not go down in my thinking. I cannot comprehend how one dying for a whole nation, and that is the only way to heaven. It doesn't make sense to me. And then there are perhaps some of them who walked away because they had no root. Jesus could well have described them in his parable of the sower when he said, some fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, that is, the seed, the word of God that had been spoken to them. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. In other words, they had a message for a little while. And they believed it, and they probably were pretty zealous followers, as young Christians sometimes are. Maybe they went in and criticized those who had been members of the faith for a long, long time. But then something suddenly happens in the lives of these immature Christians. Some tragedy comes, a death that just tears them apart, or a divorce that has entered into their family and makes life almost impossible for them. And they come back and they ask the question, where is this God of love? Where is this God who is supposed to intercede for us? We've heard you talk about him for a long time. Where, I ask you, where is he? And so they depart from him. And as they depart, the heart of Jesus grows very, very sad. And others of them will say, well, I understand what the Christian faith is all about. But there are other gods in my life which bring me much greater satisfaction than has any relationship with Jesus. And so I depart from him. It could be the materialistic things of life. That's what seemed to have caught Judas. Here was a man who had the opportunity to stay with Jesus or to take 30 pieces of silver. And he thought that his life would be much more enriched with 30 pieces of silver rather than a relationship with the Lord. And that goes on today. It goes on where some people are astute enough to know that I just simply cannot live the way that I want to live in the world and be a follower of Jesus, and so I choose the world. And they walk away. Terribly, terribly hard for our Lord. And so he turns then to the 12 disciples, it says. Then he asks them the question, will you also turn back and no longer follow me? Confrontational, very personal, and Peter comes forth with the answer. Lord, to whom would we go? You are the one who has eternal life. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, that Peter talked that particular way? Not so astounding that he would say, no, we're not going to go away from you. And if they had those moments that we can point to when they appeared to go away from Jesus, It wasn't very long before they were back. But Jesus had given to them a message that they had found in no other person, no other part of life. You have the words of eternal life. You not only talked to us about our days here on this earth, you not only said we could come and cast our cares on you, you not only said that you would give us the life and life abundantly, you are not only the one who said that you would direct and guide us in all that we did, but you are the one who said that when you close your eyes in death, there would be a place for you in your Father's house. And that's why you were going away. When you begin to talk outside of just these few years we have here, then God, I want to listen. I want to listen. Because if there is anything that I want, it is to have a home with you when I enter into the kingdom of God today. We are not going to leave you, Father. We will disappoint you. We will sin against you. But we will have within our hearts a great desire to be a part of your kingdom. With that, our Lord went on, and I would like now to ask your permission to ask a question that I think is also very confrontational, very personal, and one that perhaps we would like to avoid. Do you think Jesus would have another question if he were here today to ask us? A question something like this. Why is it that in your congregations, you are seeing a decrease in membership? While we have become too membership conscious, we put too much emphasis on numbers. Maybe. But then do you think Jesus might have come back and said, yeah, but you remember that number is not just another number. That number is a soul for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. Tell me, why do you see your denominations moving from the millions down to lesser millions? What is happening? They're walking away. And if the walking away caused me sorrow when I was here on this earth, don't you think it brings me sorrow today? Do you think he could be thinking along these lines? Do you think he could be asking that confrontational question? Or is this just something that I'm imagining? And if you were to answer Jesus, how would you put it? Would you say, and certainly this would be an answer, well, Father, we tried hard as a congregation to communicate the gospel, but these people just did not want to hear the gospel. As long as we would talk about Jesus as a good man, and as long as we would preach on these texts that life would be so much nicer if you had a positive thought or two that came from some of his words. But when he begins to talk about our sinfulness and that we are lost and a condemned creature, well, I can look to a lot of things in my life that disappoint me, but I'm really not that bad a person. I try to do my very, very best, and I can point to other people who are marvelous, marvelous individuals, and they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. That's too hard a teaching. This idea, especially when I see our world growing smaller and all kinds of people around us from all other parts of the world, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that it is through his suffering, his death, and his resurrection alone that we have the forgiveness of our sins and a personal life while we're here with Jesus and an eternal life when we breathe our last. That's a hard teaching. Some of them will probably say, well, I guess you know that we lost this particular family and that one, They didn't have very much maturity. And if something offended them, they were ready to go. And so finally the offense was bad, and we lost them. They went their own way. They decided to go to another church where things were better, and they liked it just a little bit more than they did the old one. Friend, these people are souls. Maybe you can't do anything with this so-called intellect who has discarded the gospel, except you can stay in contact with him. You can never cease to talk to him about these basic truths of the Christian faith. For that word that has been preached shall not return void, and there could possibly come a disastrous time when he would begin to see how he needed the Savior and would turn to you. Don't lose contact with that man or that woman. They could well be on their way back. And if the more emotional person says, well, we went to another congregation because it was more appealing to us and they had a type of a service that communicated better the will of God, then say to them, okay, just as long as you're being fed, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ. It matters not where you hear the message, as long as you hear it. We are not going to sorrow over that. You have not left the fold. Nor does our Lord Jesus suffer over that. But then if somebody should say, you know, why we left? Because we weren't getting anything from your congregation. We had to go some other place to hear the word of God. And there are many places today, friend, many, many places where people have left because they did not hear the word of God. Only some kind of a social gospel that talked about doing this or doing that for humanity, which is good, but not the message of the church primarily. So they've gone elsewhere. Now, what is the danger here? That we would just simply discard them? Don't you think it would be wisdom to listen to what they have to say, to let them point out the errors that they found within their church from whence they had come, to learn what the teachings were really missing as far as they were concerned. Learn from it. Thank God for them, and then see if amends could not be made in our own ministry. I know that it is very penetrating. I know that it is very confrontational. But I wonder if we who are seeing the people march away from the church for one reason or another, and it becomes smaller and smaller, do not have to entertain that kind of a question. And I wonder if we do not also have to rehearse this, that our Lord, the lover of people, the lover of your soul and mine, the one who is always willing to forgive us, is concerned when even one walks away. And never dare we say, well, we can afford to lose that family because we'll pick up another one some other place. No. You remember this, that Jesus wants all people to be saved. And when one drops out of his kingdom, there is sorrow in his heart. He wants us to come and to grow in the knowledge and the grace of his saving word. Remember that as you celebrate this Holy Week. Amen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take within a weary land.
Father, we thank you for giving us your Son. And Lord Jesus, may we walk with you every step of the way, to the upper room, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the place before Pilate's court, to Calvary, so that we may get the full impact of all that happened to you in those last days. And then to hear you say, "It is finished," only to hear the angel cry on Easter, "He is risen." May this be our experience this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare our hearts this Holy Week to reflect on the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray to both follow his example in patience and share in his resurrection to eternal life. Currently, Christian Crusaders is heard not only on 18 radio stations across the United States, but also on shortwave radio across North America and Europe at 13.760 megahertz, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. This week, we encourage those who are listening to our worship services on shortwave radio to drop us a line, letting us know in which part of the world you are able to hear us. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choice and all others who have need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.